If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Real Talk, and I am your host, Deborah Rhodes Pettigrew. We're going to switch gears now and talk about how prostate cancer is a common health event for American men. 14% will be diagnosed in their lifetime. 220,800 new cases are expected in 2015. Now, evidence is mounting that many men with prostate cancer are receiving treatments they don't need and that are reducing their quality of life. Over-treatment of prostate cancer is thought to cost $58.7 million a year in the United States. And here to talk to us about that this morning is Dr. Jerome Ritchie, who is the Chief Medical Officer at Metamark Genetics. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Deborah. It's nice to be with you today.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. So this is interesting. Men are receiving treatments that they don't necessarily need for prostate cancer. Talk to us about that.
Well, some men are being overtreated, and prostate cancer is a very common disease. As you said, 1 in 7 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. Furthermore, patients who have a family history, a brother or a father with prostate cancer, or patients who are African American have a higher risk of prostate cancer. It's 1 in 5. So those are very important features to identify disease earlier. But because there are different types of prostate cancer, not all of them need to be treated aggressively.
Okay, so which ones don't necessarily need to be treated aggressively?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, literally, is trying to identify which patients have disease that will progress and those that won't. First of all, prostate cancer has no specific symptoms, and that's why the screening with a blood test and a rectal examination is important. If somebody has an abnormal blood test or an abnormal rectal examination, they would end up with a biopsy of the prostate. And the biopsy, if there's prostate cancer, the pathologist will put a Gleason grade on that, and that grade goes from 5 to 10. Higher numbers like 8, 9, or 10 are aggressive, but the majority of men will have a 5, 6, or 7. Those are the ones that some need to be treated and some don't.
Okay. And so why wouldn't you want to treat the prostate cancer aggressively in those particular cases?
Well, because some of these cancers are slow growing, they may never cause a problem with the patient. So you don't want to over-treat somebody. Treatment has serious side effects, whether they have radiation or whether they have surgery. All of these have side effects that we would like to avoid. So if we can select the right patient who does not need treatment and could go on what's called active surveillance, then these patients can be followed and they may never need treatment, or they may need treatment later on if the disease becomes more aggressive.
All right, and then can you talk to us about what treatments are available for patients who are diagnosed with prostate cancer, and what are some of the side effects that you mentioned earlier?
Correct, Deborah. So the three standard treatments are what's called active surveillance or radiation therapy or surgery. Active surveillance means we're not sure whether this is aggressive or not, so we will follow you with periodic blood tests, periodic biopsies to be sure we haven't missed a more aggressive disease. But if things seem stable, you may not need treatment. If it's more aggressive, patients may need surgery if the tumor is contained in the prostate. This is about a 2 to 3 hour operation. It can be done different methods, either open or now with the robotic techniques, but it's a major operation. Men are in the hospital for a day or two, home for a couple of weeks. There are side effects of urinary leakage, what we call incontinence, which may last for 3 months, 6 months, or longer. There are effects on potency. Even with nerve-sparing techniques, it takes time for the nerves to repair, and not every man will regain potency after surgery. After radiation therapy, you have different types of effects, but certainly on bowel function, potency, and urination. So these are significant, and if we need to treat the patient, then these are the best treatments. But if we can identify with tools better ways not to treat the patient, that's better off for everybody.
Exactly. And so you just mentioned these tools. What new tools are available to patients and doctors deciding how to manage the prostate cancer?
Well, we've had technological advancements, and we're becoming more sophisticated. There's a tool called ProMark where they can actually take the biopsy and look at the proteins in the biopsy to predict how aggressive that cancer is going to be. So, for example, if somebody has an overall risk of 27% of being aggressive and the ProMark score is low, their risk may be 5 to 7%. Conversely, if the ProMark score is high, it might be 40 or 50%. So the difference in deciding should I follow it, if I have a 5% risk of it being aggressive, or 50% would be very dramatic and help patients make the correct decision.
All right, and then Dr. Ritchie, at what age should men begin the prostate screening process, and how often should they do the screening?
Great questions, Deborah. First of all, there's a lot of debate about whether men should be screened at all. Some of the quasi-governmental agencies have come out recommending against screening for prostate cancer. I personally think that's a mistake. I think men should be screened beginning at age 50. For African Americans or with a family history, beginning at age 40, they should have a PSA and a digital rectal examination at least once a year. It makes much more sense to know whether you are at risk than to just ignore it and not worry about it at all.
Exactly. And then why are African American men at a higher risk of being diagnosed with prostate cancer?
You know, there have been a number of studies to try to figure this out related to genetics, certain molecular markers or changes. Nobody really knows. This is an observation, but it's clear that patients in the African-American community have a much higher risk of prostate cancer and a higher risk of more aggressive prostate cancer. So the message to your listeners is get screened, get the PSA, get the digital rectal examination, and know what you're dealing with rather than ignoring it.
Exactly. All right, and where can our listeners go to get more information about this?
Yeah, there are several very good websites. There's the American Cancer Society, the American Urological Association. Our company, Metamark Genetics, has an excellent patient information section. I would encourage patients to go to, or people to go to, metamarkgenetics.com and learn more about this disease.
Hey, Dr. Jerome Ritchie, thank you so much for joining us on Real Talk and sharing this information with our listeners.
You're quite welcome, Deborah. Thank you very much.